Well, almost every fall for the past few years, sometime around late October, early November, I have done the same thing. I've walked the back of our house, out our back deck, looked in our backyard, and went, wow. Kids, come, you gotta see this. Brandy, stop what you're doing. Come and see this. Because in our backyard, we have a tree known as a katsura tree. And there is one point in the late fall where this thing is just gorgeous. It has actually got about 9 or 10 distinct colors on it at once. I don't have a picture of it. I found something that's somewhat similar, and it's got a range of greens and yellows and oranges and reds and even deep, dark purples all at once. It is a gorgeous thing. And maybe I feel a particular connection with this tree because I remember 13 years ago when I went to Richmond to a tree nursery and selected this tree. And I brought it home and planted it with some others, chose where we were going to plant it. And at the time, it didn't seem like much. It seemed like a scrawny little, I felt like I was planting a wooden pole in the ground. And it was maybe 6 or 7 feet tall. And that tree in our backyard now is 35 or 40 feet tall. It is huge and it is beautiful and it's gorgeous. And the roots are so thick and powerful, it's causing problems. It's actually pushing our sidewalk up in certain areas. When I think of that tree, it's a metaphor, a picture of life and health and growth and maturity. It's a picture of beauty, of flourishing, of thriving. And maybe the reason I feel such a connection with this tree is because those things, that tree embodies, is a picture of all the things I hope for in my life. Maybe that tree is a metaphor for the things that we desire deeply in our own lives, personally, spiritually, relationally, that our relationships and our spiritual life is not just alive, but it is healthy, it is growing, it is vibrant, it is in some ways beautiful, and maybe even thriving and flourishing. How do we move toward such a life? A life that is deeply rooted and flourishing? Well, the scripture tells us how we might step toward that kind of life. If you have your Bibles, we're going to read from Psalm 1. Psalm 1. I'm going to invite you to stand for the reading of God's word. As a reminder, anyone know what the word psalm means? It's a song. So we're actually reading the lyrics of a song. And in this opening song, the writer, the poet, the songwriter is telling us about two paths. One he's telling us does not lead to flourishing, and the other does. So listen to God's word. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Pray with me. So, living God, we once again turn our thoughts and our attention to your word because we believe that this word spoke to the people back 2,500 years ago, but it actually still speaks to us today. We believe that your word feeds us, it nourishes us. It results in our growth and our flourishing. And so we open our hearts to your word, to what you might teach us and how you might encounter us through your word. In Christ's name, amen. You can be seated. Well, as you know, this new year, we've been exploring this series called Deeper, and we've been looking at the pathway to a deepening friendship with Christ. And so we've looked at a number of topics, things like confession and repentance and pursuing holiness. And if you were here last week, you heard that our site pastor, Alvin, my site pastor, Alvin, preached a message on cultivating a rhythm of prayer in our lives and how that deepens our friendship with Christ. And today we're looking how cultivating a rhythm of meditation, of meditating on Scripture, leads to a deepening friendship with Christ. What we're doing in this series, another way to think of this, I'm reminded of the verse in Philippians that says this, "Work out your salvation with fear and trembling." In other words, what Paul is telling the listeners is you have been given a gift. You've received a new life in Christ. And you may be wondering, now, what do I do with that? And he's saying, work it out. Work out your faith in your life. Don't work for your salvation, but work out your salvation. Roll up your sleeves and figure out all of the implications of this good news of Jesus in your life. Work it into every nook and every cranny of your life, your mind, your emotions, your attitudes, your relationships, your behaviors, everything. And so what we're doing in this series is we're exploring what are these disciplines or these rhythms of grace that help us to internalize the good news of Jesus in our lives. How can we actually pursue that and work out our salvation with fear and trembling? And today, we're looking at this discipline or this rhythm of meditating on Scripture. And I want to look at two things in our time together. First, we're going to look at the promise of meditation. There are some claims being made here in Psalm 1 about the kind of person who is rooted in Scripture, who is meditating on Scripture. Some incredible claims. We're going to look at some of those claims or promises. And secondly, we're going to look at the practice of meditation. What does this look like in our lives? How do we do this? So first, let's start with the promise of meditation. Back to Psalm 1. Blessed is the one who does not do these things, walks in step with the wicked, stands in the way of sinners, but does these things. So the psalmist is telling us right away about living a blessed life. That's the subject matter. What does it mean to be blessed? Well, some of us will translate that as happy. But here's what I want to nuance this with you this morning is the psalmist is telling us the word ashrei, which we translate as blessed or happy, means a life of complete well-being, of total fulfillment. In other words, if you want to pursue true and deep and lasting happiness, if you want to live the good life as defined by God, there's something that I'm going to tell you that is going to lead you to flourishing. And here's what it is. And in this passage in Psalm 1, the psalmist contrasts two powerful pictures or images. And I just want you to sit with these two images. The first one is of a tree. Now, we live in a city of millions of trees. In fact, one of the cool things when you fly over Vancouver is you see how green this city is. You're probably well familiar with the image of a tree, but the second is less familiar. It is that of chaff. Chaff is the protective covering, the casing of a seed or a grain. And we know that what farmers would do would be at harvest time to throw up the wheat or the grain. And what would happen is the chaff would separate from that seed and the grain would fall because it was heavy. And in a light breeze, the chaff would just simply blow away. It was worthless. It was useless. And the psalmist is saying we're on one of two paths. One is toward a life that is deeply anchored, that is growing, that is alive, that is flourishing, and the other is not. Just consider these two stark images for a moment. On one side, we have a tree which is solid. It's substantial. It's not going to move. It's something of real substance. And on the other side, we have chaff, which is hollow. It's shallow. It's superficial. The psalmist is saying, which of these two lives are you choosing? One of substance or one that is shallow and hollow? We live in a time where image matters more than integrity, and style matters more than substance. And yet the psalmist is saying, you have an opportunity by meditating on God's word to choose the life that is solid, that is substantial. Or think of this image, this contrasting image in this way. A tree is secure. It remains for a long time. It has a legacy. Trees last for generations, sometimes hundreds and hundreds of years. Chaff, it's blown away and is forgotten. Which path would you like to choose? A life that endures or a life that is quickly forgotten? Or consider the contrast in the midst of a storm, something that we get a lot of here in Vancouver. A tree is rugged, it is stable, it is anchored, it is secure. Chaff, not at all. In a windstorm, it blows away quickly. I was thinking about this passage this week as I was touching base with a friend. His name's Phil. And Phil and I used to serve as youth pastors. We were at different churches, but we would work together and do kind of combined retreats. And last fall, I reconnected with Phil after some time of not hearing from him and found that Phil had gone through a year really of hell. So much brokenness and unfortunate circumstances, not the least of which that Phil was diagnosed with something called multiple myeloma, which is a form of blood cancer, which affects his blood and his bones. It was an excruciating time for Phil. And as I was listening to him talk about this season and how challenging it was, I said, what has held you? What has sustained you during this time? And he said, you know, for years, I used to teach my students this verse, these verses from James. Consider it pure joy, brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds. Not if you face trials, but when you face trials, because the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. And he said, I taught that to my students. I said, as a follower of Christ, that doesn't mean that your life is going to be easy. It doesn't mean that you're going to avoid pain. It doesn't mean that everything's going to be successful. But that God can even use those things to mature us and deepen us. And he said, Jade, I'm in the place where I'm living my own curriculum now. I wish I wasn't here. I wish I never had cancer. And I can't really say that I'm experiencing pure joy as I go through this. But I know that something is happening here, that God is doing something in my life, deepening me. And as I listened to him talk, I thought, this is a guy who is anchored deeply. He is anchored in God's word. He is not blown away with foolish ideas that somehow God has turned his back on him or God is punishing him or against him. No, he realizes, as challenging as this is, he is deeply rooted in God's word of the truth. And it is holding him at such a time which he could be easily blown away, which he could be easily turned over, and which he could easily want to run in the other direction. He is being held because he is anchored deeply in God's word. What separates these two lives, the tree and the chaff? Well, the word says, blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates on his law day and night. One of these lives is drawing on streams of water. A tree that is thirsty, that is accessing fresh water, that is internalizing that, that is growing and maturing and deepening. This is what's on offer to us when we meditate on God's word. That the meditation leads to transformation. One person put it this way, that meditation is to the soul like digestion is to the body. That when we take God's word and meditate on it, it is like water to a tree that allows it to flourish and to grow and to deepen its roots. And maybe most amazing about this image of all says that this tree, a person who meditates on God's word, is a tree that is planted by a stream. Now think about this for a minute. We live in Vancouver where there's no shortage of rain, but the Bible was written in a very dry and arid culture. And so trees that normally would flourish and prosper had access to a lot of rain. But if there was a drought, if it was really dry, it wouldn't be certain whether that tree would survive or not, right? In other words, the tree was dependent on the weather and the circumstances. But here's the point, friends, is that this image of a tree planted by water, by streams of water, means that whatever the weather, whatever the external circumstances in your life, this tree is drawing on a different source that is always present. And so meditating on scripture is drawing on a source of water that will never run dry. That in the midst of whatever circumstances you're going through, the person who meditates on God's word has a water source that will never run out, even when all other water sources have dried up. Well, let's look now at this practice. These promises of meditation can be realized through the practices of meditation. Let's look at this briefly. The psalmist says that to be a tree planted by streams of water, we are people who meditate day and night. There is a rhythm. There is a rhythm to going to the scriptures, to reading them, to perhaps memorizing them, to going over and over them in our minds so that they get inside of us. That this is not duty, but it is delight. Verse 2, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord. Now, let's just pause here for a moment and recognize that for many of us, this reading the scriptures is not particularly delightful. We get bogged down, we get confused. We think, what are we reading? It feels very dry. Somebody once told me, he said, I really struggle with insomnia, but when that happens, I just pull up my Bible and I start reading. And in no time, I'm able to fall asleep. And then other people tell me, when I have insomnia, I listen to your sermons, Jade, online. And I feel like that really works for me. I don't know whether to be insulted or to just say you're welcome. But reading the scriptures is not... Many of us would not describe that as particularly delightful at times. It's challenging, isn't it? It's difficult. But when we read the scriptures, we're invited not to read primarily for information, which is how most of us are trained to read, but to read for relationship. So we read the newspaper, you read a textbook, you scan through it pretty quickly looking for the relevant information. And that type of reading of scripture will never truly deepen in your life. You'll never grow in a growing friendship with God. You need to read the scriptures slowly and read for relationship. A number of years ago, before Brandy and I were married, some of you have heard this story, that she went away and moved to Brazil for a season, for 6 months. And truth be told, we were dating, but we weren't, when she went to Brazil, there wasn't any kind of understanding that we were exclusive or that this was necessarily going to continue. This was a pretty open-ended thing, and we weren't sure what was going to happen when Brandy went to Brazil. And so when she got there, we started writing letters. This is like pre-email days, okay? I know we're old. We would actually handwrite letters to each other. And I remember the day that I would go to the mailbox and there'd be a letter from Brandy. It would take like 2 weeks to get here. And I would feel my heart start to beat just a little bit faster in excitement of this. And I would open that letter and I would sit down and I would read this and I would savor these words. I wasn't reading for information. I was reading for a relationship. There was information in there, but I would read it and I would read it again. And I would like parse little phrases. And you know, she would say, "I miss you." And I would say, "What does that mean? Like, is it like I miss you or is it like I miss you?" And I would go over and over and I'd try to read the context. It was like exegeting a letter. I was reading not for information, but for relationship. And those of you maybe who have written letters, you know that in a relationship, when you write, you kind of get to what's important quickly, don't you? Because your hand gets sore. You can't just keep going on and on and on. And so that was a really important aspect of our relationship. And so it is with the scripture that this, when the psalmist is saying, I delight in the law of God, they're reading it in a deep way, in a relational way, saying, how is the one true living God speaking to me? What am I learning about how God thinks and feels and how he's working in the world? And it really has an opportunity to bring us to a place of delight. Jonathan Edwards was an 18th century pastor, intellectual, theologian, one of the brightest minds of his time. He wrote this: "Sometimes, only mentioning a single word will cause my heart to burn within me. Only seeing the name of Christ will suddenly make my heart burn, and God suddenly appears glorious to me. And when I enjoy this sweetness, it seems to carry me above the thoughts of my own estate. It seems that at such times, I'm at such a loss, I cannot bear it, and I cannot bring myself to take my eye from this glorious present object and to turn it onto myself or my interest." In other words, there is a richness and there is a delight in getting God's word into us, in savoring it, in going over and over and again and listening for the relationship that God is calling us to and cultivating in us. Have you ever experienced that delight, that joy? Am I saying that every time you read the Bible, you should be doing cartwheels and backflips? Of course not. Like any relationship, there are going to be seasons where things feel kind of dry. Maybe reading the scripture feels dutiful at times. But friends, if we're ever going to experience the delight of God's word, it seems to me we have to be people who are committed to meditating on God's word, to recognizing the discipline and the rhythm of continuing to go to that word, because it's living water for us that feeds us. And as we reflect on that over and over again, I think we can come to a place of genuine delight in the word. The Hebrew word for meditate literally means mumble to yourself. To mumble the gospel, to chew it over and over and over and over again. I know that there was a season where I wanted to read through the entire scripture, and so I did the one-year Bible. It took me like a year and a half, but it was the one-year Bible plan. And there can certainly be value in that. But meditating on scripture is different. It's to take small portions of scripture and to memorize them and to mumble them to yourself throughout the day, throughout the week. I know that one passage of scripture that I committed to memory was Psalm 23. And it's not a long passage, but I remember reflecting on just verse 1. "The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, and so I lack nothing. I have everything I need." And I just stopped there. And for a few days, I just reflected on the fact that what does it mean that the Lord is my shepherd? What does it mean that because I have him, I actually have everything that I need? I don't lack anything. And as I went over and over and over in that mind, it was savoring a small piece of scripture. And it was as if it was working its way into all these little nooks and crannies in my life. And I began to reflect on, where is it that I don't really believe that? That I don't really believe that God is all I need? And maybe it would sometimes turn to prayer. Or I know there was another scripture years ago that stuck with me, and it was Psalm 16. Very short. And it just said, I have set the Lord before me because he is at my right hand. And I used to think, how is the Lord before me and at my right hand? That doesn't even make sense. But I realized in the mystery of God, he is both my goal, the one that I work towards and look towards. He's my vision. He's my direction. But God is also at my right hand. He's also my friend and my companion. He is with me always. And I've prayed that over and over and recited that over, mumbled it to myself over and over. I have set the Lord before me because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad. My tongue rejoices and my body rests secure. Once I reflect on these things, it changes how I respond. Meditation, friends, is a way of getting this good news of who God is in every aspect of our lives. If I really believed that God loved me and was with me, I wouldn't be afraid right now. And if I really knew that I was completely forgiven, and that God, as God looks on me, he doesn't look with anger or disappointment, but he looks with delight, how would that change my day today? Friends, this is the practice of meditation, of going over it and over it, chewing it over and over until it gets inside of us. A couple weeks ago, I told you about the newest member of our family, our dog Comet. Has been with us for a year, and I was thinking about this aspect of meditating on scripture, of chewing it over and over. And I thought about when our dog Comet gets his bone. We give him a bone, and I know dogs love bones. They need to chew. It's like instinctual. It's actually good for their jaw and for their teeth, but when we give our dog Comet a bone, he just has this sense of real delight. He grabs it, and he just trots off into the corner. And he sits and finds a place, and he begins to chew on that thing and turns it over and chews the other side and licks one side of it, then licks the other side of it. And he just looks so content in this place. And then maybe later he will pick it up and go to another corner of the room and begin to chew it over and over. What am I saying? I'm saying when we read the Bible, we are to read it like Comet chews his bone, that we are to go over and over and over and to realize this is a way that this is getting inside me. It's shaping me. It's transforming me. The meditation can truly lead to transformation. Meditation on God's word means we are placing ourselves like a tree by streams of water. That we have a constant source of delight, of God's presence, of God's love, God's favor, God's grace that we are drawing on. And regardless of the circumstances in our lives, whether we're going through a terrible season of incredible dryness and drought, we're drawing on a different source here. And it is giving us life, and it is helping us to grow, and is helping us to flourish. We conclude with thinking about the one person who perfectly delighted in the law of God. The one person who perfectly submitted himself to the law of God. One day, Jesus was interacting with someone. They were talking about being thirsty. They were near a well, and Jesus said this, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up into eternal life. Why do we meditate on scripture, friends? Is because when we do, it gets us in touch with the one who is living water. Why do we meditate on the scripture? Because it deeply connects us with the source of all life, Jesus Christ. Why might we want to cultivate this practice in our life? Because it deepens this vital, life-giving connection with Jesus. So come, all who are thirsty. Know that when all other sources have dried up in your life, there is living water from Jesus. Pray with me. Jesus, we are thirsty, and we hear your invitation. Like a tree planted by a stream, we ask you to help our roots to go deep. May we be people who hunger and thirst for you. May you give us such a hunger for your word that we would even experience the delight of meditating on your words, of mumbling to ourselves, of chewing on your words of life. We hear your invitation. Come, all who are thirsty. Let us drink of the water that is offered by you, Jesus. In Christ's name, amen.